and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn Mack, and we are so very happy to be with you tonight. It's Tuesday evening, and I hope that your day has been a wonderful day and that things have trucked along okay for you today in spite of kind of dealing with the aftermath of yesterday and the bombings in Boston. I think some progress has been made today. I've been kind of trying to follow the news here and there in between working and everything else. So, needless to say, it has, it's been quite an earth-shattering thing the last 24 hours to, you know, to hear what's been happening and as things continue to come out of Boston. So, you know, I would just say that we should continue to pray for the people of Boston and for those who have lost loved ones, those who are injured, and for the families. You know, that is such a horrific ordeal to be trucking along in life and, you know, at an event that is supposed to be happy and joyful, and it just gets disrupted in such a horrific way by, you know, someone or a group of people that just preferred for it not to be that way. So our thoughts and prayers here at our show, you know, Behind the Mic Radio, we do go out to the people of Boston. And so with that, I would definitely say, a very, you know, heartfelt feeling for what has been going on and what's been happening of late. And it's not the kind of thing that you want to see happen anywhere, you know, in the U.S. I think sometimes we tend to think that it won't happen to us, but it does. And when it does, it's rather scary because we don't expect it to be like that. And I don't know, we think we're in the safest country in the world, and sometimes we are, and yesterday just proved that we still are pretty vulnerable, and there's a lot of things, you know, to be said about that. So with that, I'd like to transition now to our show this evening. We are very, very excited we're going to be calling our guest here in a moment, but very, very excited to be talking with our guest this evening. She is an author and a blogger, and she has written a book. And the book, it's briefly titled Stranger Here. And basically, the book is her, basically the full length, the full title of the book is called Stranger Here, How Weight Loss Surgery Transformed My Body and Messed with My Head. And the author is Jen Larson, and in the book, she talks about her experience with this surgery and the effect it had on her mentally, emotionally, physically. And I think it's really neat that she, you know, she has kind of put herself out there to let others know about her ordeal. And because if you've ever had this type of surgery or you're considering having this type of surgery, you know, this book very well could be a saving grace of sorts. So we're going to try to get her on the line now. So bear with me one moment.
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hi, Jen. This is Dawn with Behind the Mic Radio. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. We're live on air. I started the show talking about the ordeal in Boston yesterday, and I didn't want to tie up your time holding on the line, so I thought I would just, you know, call you when we were ready to roll. How are you this evening? I hope everything's going well for you.
Yes, thank you very much. Everything is going quite well, even though it's so cold.
Oh, wow. Well, we finally have spring here. It's turned spring, and we're very, very happy about that because it was cold just a week and a half ago, like 40s, and we were like, is it ever going to be spring? So it's nice to see that it has finally ushered in. And so I just want to thank you for your time this evening, you know, and spending some of your time with us to talk about your book, because when I actually, you know, to tell you the truth, how I came across it, I saw an article about your book online, and it just right away intrigued me. I was like, oh, this is so interesting. And just for the mere fact that you took your personal experience with, you know, weight loss surgery and you put it in a book, and I think it's an awesome thing that you've done, because anyone who may have had the surgery or is considering having the surgery, I mean, I think it's a great resource to draw from. So talk a little bit about, you know, how you got from the weight loss surgery to writing this book.
Well, I had, at the time, shortly after I got the weight loss surgery, I had been writing a blog, a personal blog about the surgery and the after effects and how it was kind of not at all what I expected it to be. I didn't expect it to be so physically dramatic in the sense that how sick I was feeling and how nauseous and how strange it was that my body was already changing so quickly. And at that point, I was contacted by Susan Caplow, who was working for Condé Nast at the time. And they were starting a new blog about women's bodies and health in the media and having a healthy, positive body image. And she asked me if I would like to write a blog about my weight loss surgery experiences. And that seemed like an odd match to me, because I didn't feel like, you know, I was in any way a role model for somebody who was happy with their body, because I had just done something extremely drastic because I was so unhappy. So, but I agreed to do it, and I realized as I was working with the other women who were writing about body image and health and women's bodies in the media, I realized that I actually had something to contribute about this fear I had been dealing with, that I was not good enough at the size I had been, and the strangeness of suddenly fitting into a world I had not previously fit into. And so I got into a conversation with the other bloggers. The readers who were following along were really responding to these messages, these ideas, these revelations I was having about how my size had not been the reason I had been so unhappy and my weight hadn't been the source of all my problems. And after that blog ended, I realized, because I had gotten so much great, great feedback, I realized that I wanted to write a book about this, that this was probably a unique experience, a body image from both sides, from such extreme sides of the scale, from 300 pounds all the way down to 130-something. I was scrawny and still unhappy with my body, and I wanted to talk about that and to reach out to other people who felt alone, felt like they didn't know what was wrong with them, and they kept trying everything, and they could never quite figure it out.
Well, and did you know, as you were going into the weight loss surgery, did you have this kind of preconceived notion that once you went through that, you know, all would be well in your world, that, you know, all these thoughts that you'd had prior would just magically disappear? Because I think, you know, if I were going to embark on something like that, that would probably be my mindset, that, you know, my body's going to be transformed, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to be transformed from the inside out, you know, as well. Did you struggle with that at all?
Oh, absolutely. We have there's this fairy tale of weight loss where we're told, you know, thin equals happy and happy equals beautiful, and it's this whole equation. And as soon as you lose all the weight that you need to lose and you're thin, you'll be happy and you'll live happily ever after. And I totally bought that. It seems ridiculous to think, well, you know, I'll lose all the weight and I'll be perfect and I'll never have to think about my body again. And it seems so just dumb. And I bought into it. I absolutely bought into that idea that I would be transformed. My body would change. I would change.
Yeah, I mean, and we had the media to thank for that, because, you know, you can turn the TV on anywhere, any program, and you see beautiful women all glammed up, they're thin as a rail, you know, and that is the image that's out there that society and the media tells women, you know, makes women think, you know, if you aren't this size, if you don't look like this, then you're nobody.
Right.
And when you look at all the celebrities who are that size, who have such screwed up lives, who are struggling in so many ways, obviously their size is not working for them either, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it is amazing how the media really plays with our minds. And it's, and with women in particular, you know, I don't know how this affects men per se, but with women in particular, we're always so hard on ourselves in terms of our weight and how we look. And, you know, and it is really something that we do wrestle with internally. And so how did you kind of overcome that? I mean, do you still even to this day struggle with that at all, or did you finally work through it to the point that you realized, you know, that what the media says is just hogwash, you know, because it really is.
It really, really is. It's hard not to internalize that. But, yeah, I still struggle with it every day, that tiny little voice in the back of your head where you're constantly criticizing yourself and you're constantly thinking about your flaws. It is so, so hard to turn off. It's hard not to listen to. It's so subconscious that you actually have to be careful and watch for it. You know, the self denigration and the hateful thoughts. So yeah, it's a struggle every day. And I realized that it wasn't going away when I got to my very skinniest and I looked in the mirror and I was a size something ridiculous, something small, a size I never thought I would be. I'm looking at myself going, I'm not skinny enough. I'm not a size, I think I was a 2, and I was thinking, I'm not a size 0. That's not good enough. Why can't I be a size 0? And I stopped and I thought, are you kidding me? Is this really how you want to spend the rest of your life, just never feeling like you're good enough? And like I said, it's still such a struggle, but that was kind of the turning point when I realized that I could not live like that. Nobody should have to live like that, always convinced that there's something wrong with their body.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really does boil down to self-acceptance. And we have to accept ourselves for who we are and the size we are, no matter what size we are. I mean, if we can do that, then we can deal with that little voice that's constantly trying to tell us otherwise, you know. But it is so hard. It is so hard. And I think it's just naturally inborn in women in particular for us to kind of look at other women and compare ourselves size-wise and go, gosh, I wish I was her size, or, you know, I wish I had her hair, or, you know, any number of comparisons. We've all been guilty of it. And then for some reason, why we do that, I have no clue. I'm still trying to figure that one out myself. But, you know, but we do. It's kind of natural female human nature to pit ourselves against other women.
Nature. I think it's absolutely human nature. Men deal with it as well. Men constantly are struggling with the images of, you know, ripped guys with these impossible abdominal muscles and these shoulders, and they're supposed to, a man is supposed to be a certain height or he's not a man, and he's supposed to have a certain width of shoulders, and any deviation from that ends up with a whole lot of name-calling from adolescent boys, and I think it's very, very much universal. I think, obviously, the fashion magazines are particularly skewed towards women. There are so many more women's fashion magazines, which is why there's so much attention. But I think it's something that men struggle with, too, and which is just frustrating and awful.
Oh, yeah. Talk about how your life has changed since this all happened, and how you in terms of how you've come through this and now where you are today versus where you were, you know, when you had the surgery.
Well, I've realized that, and again, this is another one of those duh moments. It's a lot easier to be thin in this world than it is to be fat. The world is literally physically not built for fat people, and the world and so many people in the world do not like fat people. As a fat person, my body was very much public domain. I'd have people commenting on how I look and what I should be eating and what should be in my grocery cart. And that has shifted in the sense that it's easier now. It's so much easier to, you know, fit in an airplane seat and not worry about if there's enough room on the subway. But I'm getting different attention, which is frustrating. You know, I get sexual attention on the street, catcalls and obnoxious things. And, you know, our bodies are still public property, which was a shock to me. Well, I guess it's not a shock. It's another duh thing. But, you know, I that's one of the major frustrations of this, that you can never just have your body. There's always going to be somebody commenting on it. Yeah, but I am very aware of that now, and it's something I want to keep talking about, and I want to have a conversation about this. I want to see if we can't change that somehow. I'm happier now that I'm more aware of those negative thoughts, and, you know, I know it's so hard to get rid of them, but exercising has been huge for me. I've started running, and that's made me more aware of what my body can do rather than what my body looks like, and that's been a huge, huge transformation for me.
Well, it almost sounds like you've shifted your focus from, you know, that negative that was kind of within you to now a positive of really seeing that your body is like this machine, you know, and it can do so many amazing things if, you know, if utilized properly. And what a way to pour your energy, you know, into, and not to mention the exercise aspect is just phenomenal, you know, and just getting, you know, the endorphins up and just all that just works to your benefit every time, you know, you engage in it. And, you know, and it's been said that, you know, you experience, you know, the one extreme of the weight loss or the weight spectrum to the other, and I guess in your case, that's true. I mean, now that you've kind of learned to deal with this the way you are, you know, do you feel, I mean, do you look at yourself differently now than you did?
Physically, you mean, or?
Well, you know, I guess in all aspects, internally, mentally, physically, you know, is it better for you, I guess, in terms of the little voice inside your head that tries to tell you things that you know are not true?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a stronger person for sure. I wish I didn't have to spend however many years, this has been 7 years since I got my surgery. I wish I didn't have to spend so many years trying to figure out how to work towards being happy and how to be more comfortable in my skin and how to accept my body. So I am definitely a much stronger person. I feel like I'm a lot smarter. Obviously, I'm always going to make mistakes and never be perfect, but I feel more comfortable with that idea that, you know, I've made so many dumb decisions, and yet I've lived through them, and I've become a better person. And it's been kind of, I mean, everybody goes through that. It feels like it's been sort of dramatic. And the decisions I've made have been very dramatic, and the consequences have been very dramatic. So it's been a really kind of a really intense experience. And I wish I could have figured it out without doing all that. But
well,
but I'm,
you know, obviously
stronger.
That this was your journey that you've had to be on, you know, and like you say, you've come out of it, you know, on the other side of it, so much stronger. Probably better all the way around in terms of, you know, how you look at yourself, how you look at things in general. And, you know, and sometimes we do have to go through some really horrific things, so to speak, in order to get to where we need to be.
Right.
One thing I'm curious about, how has your family, I mean, how did this affect your family and your loved one that, you know, see you all the time in terms of from the time you got the surgery and, you know, the physical transformation started to take place to, you know, where you are now? How have they adapted?
They have all been incredibly, incredibly supportive and wonderful and just loving. I actually sat down with my friends before I got the surgery, and I said, look, I'm going to lose a lot of weight. Will you still love me when I'm a different person? Essentially is what I said. I didn't, not in those words, but, you know, is this okay with you guys? And they've just been wonderful and supportive and so proud of me. And it's never been about the weight. They're not saying, congratulations, thank goodness you're skinny, we're so grateful.
Yeah.
They've been genuinely supportive of everything it means for me as a person, not just, you know, good for you, you're skinny.
That just tells you, I hope that has kind of reaffirmed for you that your family and your loved ones love you for who you are, you know, and have always loved you. And to them, it matters not what size you are. I mean, they love you for you, you know, the person you are. And that is so important to us, you know. I can't imagine that it had to have been for you at times like a roller coaster ride, because initially before you had the surgery, how difficult was it for you to make that decision to get the weight loss surgery? I mean, was there any hesitancy at all, or did you say, I'm going to do this?
And... There was none at all. Oh, my goodness. I was so depressed, and I was depressed to the point where I really didn't believe that my friends and family could love me the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I bumped into the idea of surgery on a website, and I clicked over, and I saw the before and after pictures, and I made up my mind immediately. I said, yep, that's for me. I'm going to do it. It's the magic cure. There was no hesitancy, none, and that was really stupid of me. I didn't read about the complications. I didn't read about the side effects. I didn't really pay attention to anything at all except those before and after photos, and because, you know, people are losing hundreds of pounds in just a few months, and it just seemed like a miracle. And it seemed like the miracle I had been waiting for. So, yeah, I jumped right in.
Well, you know, I've known a couple of friends and family members who have had the same surgery, and, you know, just they haven't had direct conversations with me, but I've, like, heard them talking, you know, we've been in family settings, and I've heard them talking with other members of the family who were pondering it, you know, like, oh, you know, I can only eat, like, a small amount of food or I'll be sick. And you know, I'm like, oh, my. Now, clarify for me to make sure I'm correct. The bariatric surgery is that the one where they put, like, the clamp on your stomach to make your stomach smaller, or am I thinking about a different type of surgery?
That's the lap band surgery, the one where they actually band your stomach. Bariatric surgery, I believe, is the overall term for all kinds of weight loss surgery. Could be wrong. Lap band is where they actually physically restrict your stomach with a device. And then there are a ton of different kinds of actual surgical procedures where they do various things to your stomach and your intestines. I chose the most dramatic one because I said I'm want to lose most weight, as much weight as possible.
Well, what was the most, in terms of the surgery itself, after you had the surgery, what was the most eye-opening thing for you? I mean, in terms of, oh my God, I mean, your oh my gosh moment, not in a negative way. I'm not talking about in the positive way where you actually lost the weight, but in terms of the healing afterwards, because I know there had to have been some sort of a recovery phase, you know, in terms of physically. What was that like?
It was pretty brutal. I was exhausted for a month, just physically exhausted, and for months after that too. And it was hard for me to walk more than a few blocks without wanting to lie down and nap for 3 days. And you're also, because you're so calorie restricted, because your stomach is so small, you are not taking in, you know, a whole lot of energy, I guess, a lot of calories. You're not as strong as you would be. Your body's still adapting to the fact that it's getting a whole lot less energy. And, so that was a struggle for a really long time. And, but once you start feeling better, you start seeing your body changing, and you start seeing your clothes fitting you differently. And I think my major, oh my gosh, I'm actually losing all this weight moment was when I actually managed to cross my legs. I had never in my life sat in a chair and crossed my legs at the knee. I just hadn't been able to, and I got so excited.
Oh, wow.
I could actually cross my legs.
That warms my heart. I mean, because I think about something that, you know, most of us take for granted, something like that,
yeah.
You know. But someone who has been in that situation and has reached, you know, a high weight, or they're at a high weight, I mean, that is something they don't do. And you know, some people may look at that and find humor in that. But really, that's huge when you've lost all that weight and you realize there are things that you do after the fact that you weren't able to do before the fact. That's got to be so liberating in a way.
Yeah, it was really surprising to me, and I really enjoyed the fact that suddenly I could do things that I could not actually physically do. But, I mean, there are women who are the size I was and twice the size I am now who can do everything I either thought I couldn't do or actually couldn't do. I mean, there are obese marathon runners. I can't run a marathon even at the size I am now. So, yeah, it was kind of bittersweet in that, you know, suddenly my body's able to do all these things because I'm skinny, but I felt kind of guilty about that because I didn't want to, there was a part of me that felt like, you know, being glad about being able to do things now means that I'm sort of dismissing the person that I used to be. So that was kind of a struggle.
Oh, yeah, I know it had to have been. And because really, when you go through something like that, and I've never personally experienced it, but I just can only envision, and especially in talking with you, it is a complete transformation. It's not just a physical transformation, but you know, it's the realization of things that you couldn't do that you can do now, and or just a whole different mindset, you know. And you know, the most heartbreaking thing for me that I've heard you say during this interview is that, you know, your biggest fear going into it was if your family would love you, would still love you. And, you know, but of course, when you're at that point and it's almost seemingly a point of desperation, you know, you do reach that point. I mean, I think you do think I'm unlovable. No one could ever love me. And it's all based on how we perceive ourselves and our physical appearance. And,
yeah. And
you know, I mean, I've been guilty of it. I sit and tell myself that. And sometimes I'm like, you know, who in the world would want me? And, you know, I think it's human nature, like you said earlier. It's so natural for us to be our worst critics and so hard on ourselves when we really don't have
to,
you know, but it's hard. Now, if someone, you know, that's listening tonight is contemplating, you know, obviously if they've been through it, they've had their own experience, but if someone's contemplating getting this type of surgery, what is your best advice for them?
My best advice is to first address any surrounding issues. Fat and being overweight and size has so much more to do with there's no one reason that anybody gains more weight than they want to gain. You know, it's a complicated issue with food, or it's genetic, it's something. There's always some kind of background issue that needs to be addressed. When I got the surgery, I was running away from all the emotional issues. And I was running away from having to actually deal with the reason that I was unhappy. My biggest point of advice would be to not rush into it, to sit down, go to therapy, do whatever you need to do to sort of figure out what's going on with you emotionally and psychologically. If you feel like you need to make the decision to get weight loss surgery, that's great, but because diets don't actually work. But think about it first and deal with the underlying issues first and do make that decision from a really strong place, a really solid place of self-acceptance and understanding why you're doing it, not as an act of desperation, not as a way to get away from who you are.
Yeah, that is so well said, and I'm glad you shared that, because to me, you know, it's kind of like, you know, someone that has an addiction, and they just pour themselves into their addiction, whatever the addiction may be. It doesn't have to necessarily be drug or alcohol, but just an addiction of sorts to try and forget what, you know, they don't want to avoid dealing with what they really need to deal with, the core issues. And you know, and but it is so hard when you're at a point of desperation sometimes to really just stop and say, okay, I'm going to go within and internalize what's going on within me, you know. And a lot of times it may be that folks may find that the weight gain or the weight that they are is just kind of a residual side effect of what's really going on. And
exactly.
And so, you know, you're so correct in that. I think, you know, you have to get to the core of what, you know, is really going on within in order to be able to deal with everything else that's going on outside of us.
Absolutely.
You know, so if someone wanted to contact you, you know, someone listening and they've been inspired by your story, how could they get a hold of you?
My website is jenlarsen.net. It's JenLarsen.net. There's a contact form there. I'm also on Twitter as Jenfoo, JenFoo. And the Facebook page for the book is facebook.com/strangerhere.
Well, and one other question for you. Do you do any speaking engagements about your journey with this?
I'd love to. I have not yet, but I would really like to have this conversation and keep this conversation going and talk to people about what I've gone through and what they're going through. I've gotten so many amazing emails from people, and I'm just grateful to be able to talk to them and listen to what they've gone through and do what I can to help.
Well, you are incredibly inspiring to me and I'm sure to those who are listening. I mean, congratulations on, you know, coming through your journey. I mean, it was not easy, I'm sure. And just to have the sense of, you know, positive feeling and mindset about yourself now comparatively to before all of this, I mean, that it has changed you in so many great ways. And so now what you've been able to do, you're able to take and help others with. And I'll just tell you that anytime you want to use our show as a platform to, you know, reach out or talk to others about your journey, please let us know. We're glad to have you on at any time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
If we can do whatever, you know, to help you with that, because we are all about trying to help folks get connected and also, you know, in things like this, you know, that are so important. And what you're doing is a great thing, and I'm really glad you wrote the book. I mean, I'm sure that took a lot of courage given the fact of what you went through because it was such a personal thing. And one other thing, one thing I really found interesting was that you, in your book, there's a great amount of humor. And, you know, and I think that that is so awesome that, you know, when you wrote the book that you could have that element in it, because that right there shows the growth and the change in a positive way that this mm-hmm. impacted you. And so, you know, I'm sure anyone that reads it is really will enjoy that. And it will be very inspiring, no doubt about it. So
thank you.
Well, we
thank you so much.
Thank you for being our special guest this evening and for sharing your story with us. And we greatly appreciate it. Again, we would love to have you back at any time. And best of luck to
thank
you as
you
so continue
much.
Forward. All right, well, take care and best of luck to you.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great night, Jen.
You too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Ah, what a nice woman. She, you know, I'm inspired. I am truly inspired. I love heartfelt stories, and that's one of the reasons why I really wanted her to be on the show tonight, because I actually read an article, and I can't remember what website it was, but it was a website that was doing a review of her book. And by the way, if you're interested in picking up the book is called Stranger Here, How Weight Loss Surgery Transformed My Body and Messed with My Head. It's a great book. It talks about her journey. I mean, or if you're looking for it, it's just, you can just briefly do a search called Stranger Here. The author is Jen Larson, and she is just absolutely wonderful. But her website, she's got two websites. You can go to strangerhere.com or Jen Larson, LARSEN.net, and or you can follow her on Twitter, Jen Foo. And you can also email her, jen.a.larson@gmail.com. And, you know, if you are having some struggles with weight loss, if you're pondering getting weight loss surgery, but you're really not sure if you want to go that route or not, I implore you to talk with her. She is really wanting to take her experience now and help others, and I think that's really what it's all about in the grand scheme of things. Her book has just been out over a month, so it's brand new to the world of weight loss, and what an inspiring story, and what a very, very nice young woman. So please, please look her up if you're interested in speaking with her about your own personal struggles with weight loss. I think as a woman, we've all had them. We've all been on those yo-yo diets and tried to diet, and as she said, diets do not work, and really it is about a lifestyle change. It's not a diet that will get you to a weight that you aspire to be at. It is really about a lifestyle change. So in any event, what a great interview yet again. So that is going to wrap up our show for this evening, and so, so very glad, you know, that Jen could be our guest this evening. We want to send a special thank you to her for being our special guest, and also to all of you, the listeners. We're going to be taking a few nights off on our show, and coming up on Saturday, we're going to be doing airing our show at a special time at 12 p.m. Eastern. We're doing a rebroadcast of an interview that we did with a comedian that you may or may not have heard of. If you follow the Christian circuit any, then you know her right off. Her name is Shonda Pierce. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. We did about a 20-minute interview. It was the most hilarious thing. So much fun. So if you're looking for a great laugh and just hearing from someone who's just full of life, Shonda Pierce is your gal. And we're going to be airing our special interview with her on at 12 p.m. on Saturday, April 20th. And also, I have one announcement because some of you may not listen to my other radio show. We recently started a brand new radio show that we've added to our family of shows called Life Beats Radio. And it's a faith-based, Christian-based show. It has Christian, you know, related artists and authors and musicians, and it's just a great conglomeration of people, you know, ordinary people doing extraordinary things to make a difference in the world, all that type stuff. It's just a really feel-good type format, and coming up tomorrow night on that show, we just found out this afternoon, and we're so, so extremely excited. We are going to have Miss Sandy Patty at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and for those of you who are familiar with Christian music, Sandy Patty has been in the business for 30-plus years. She's done so much. It's unbelievable what she's accomplished. And she is going to be on our show, Life Beats Radio, tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. She's a Grammy. She's won 5 Grammy Awards, 4 Billboard Music Awards, 3 Platinum Records, 5 Gold Records, and 11 million record album sold, and she's also the most awarded female vocalist in contemporary Christian music history with 40 Dove Awards, and she's also an author and currently performs with, you know, some of the symphonies across the country, the New York Pops, Boston Pops, Cincinnati Pops, Dallas Symphony, Baltimore Symphony, Houston Symphony, and Oklahoma City Philharmonic. She was just at Carnegie Hall last week. She's all over the place. She's worldwide, and we are so esteemed and so honored that she is going to be giving us a little bit of her time tomorrow evening. So that's on our show, Life Beats Radio. Please follow us over there. We're brand new. We're not even a month old yet. So we're looking to, you know, have people follow us and stay up with us, and you know, and please come check it out. I think you will enjoy it. So in any event, that is going to wrap our show for tonight. We'll be back in the next few days, and until then, have a great rest of the week. Enjoy it. Enjoy your evening, and we'll be right back here real soon. Take care, all. Good night. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.